This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome to the Morning Run. I'm Julian Ng, and together with me is Xiaoning on this March 2nd, 2020. How are you, Xiaoning?
I survived the weekend.
By the way, how was your weekend?
I worked, Julian. We broke format at BFM and I was in the studio reporting on Saturday evening and again on Sunday afternoon with my also very hardworking colleagues across the different programs, actually. So it was kind of unusual.
Fantastic. So in a word, how would you characterize the weekend?
It was a political whirlwind, wasn't it? I mean, we were like waiting with bated breath what would happen, and until it was confirmed that Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin would be, the Prime Minister. And we did see that happen at 10:30 a.m. yesterday morning when he was sworn in as our 8th Prime Minister.
Okay, that's certainly more than one word.
Whirlwind is my one word. That's my word of the week, okay?
All right, we are sure to bring you more updates today on the political situation and the business situation as well around the world. But what do we have lined up for this hour, Xiaoning?
Well, I think after all that we've been through, a little travel would be nice. But with COVID-19, I think, okay, maybe that might be curtailed. But hey, we're still going to give you some ideas.
All right, coming up next, we'll be looking at a story from the Financial Times, actually, that states, Stuff the Inspiring Types, Find Me an Anti-Role Model. And we're going to come back after this song, Under Pressure by Queen and David Bowie. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to the Morning Run. Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning with you. And that was This Love Affair by Gloria Gaynor. And we're looking at an FT article which tells us to forget about heroes and start searching for anti-heroes. This could be very apt advice given what happened over the week. Heroes tell you to be plucky individuals rather than focusing on changing the structure of the workplace. And an inspirational label puts pressure on role models. Inevitably, they are inundated by requests for mentoring to speak at events to work beyond their actual jobs. So we should actually focus on anti-heroes, because anti-heroes tell you to look at the system rather than do something about your individualism.
Yeah, I like this one because I really like this article because it just, sometimes it's true. You're told to, reach for the stars, right, when you go for a job. Reach for the stars, be that CEO. Everybody gives you such lofty inspirations, lofty ambitions. But actually, maybe that's not the game plan for everybody. Because do you really want to be that crazy, power-hungry psychopath?
Why not?
Just
kidding.
Yeah, but for maybe some people, that's what they aspire for. But for me, yeah, you're right. Do I want to be that overworked, crazy, power-hungry psychopath? Maybe not,
I think there is a reason not to necessarily go that path for everybody, because the role of the CEO, there's only one, right? In
yes.
A company that's 100,000 strong, maybe 5,000 strong, 20,000 strong, or whatever, there's going to be only one CEO. And if you pursue that, you're going to be in competition with a lot of people and therefore be, just snowed under such pressure and competitiveness.
Yeah, that invariably you'll be that crazy psychopath.
Yeah, and you would never reach there, making you very unhappy.
Yeah, for some people, of course, they do achieve that alluring goal. But for the rest, like for me, I don't aspire to be that. But I guess what this article also says is, along the way, who are the bosses that actually make a difference to your life, right, as an employee? And what kind of characteristics do they have? So when I see this article, and it's true, when I think about the bosses that I really, that kind of inspire me, that I appreciate, are not those that, told me to reach for the stars and all that, the normal jargon. I think were the bosses that were invariably kind. And, kindness is something that, I think is so overlooked. It's kind of like almost not respected in the corporate world, because you don't put kindness and, corporate in the same sentence. It somehow doesn't gel, right? But actually, if you are a kind person or a considerate person, then automatically you're the kind of person that, okay, what does this person need? How can I help this person, Even in the daily grind of work, right? You're a bit more of a empathic, sympathetic boss.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting because if you look at how urgent the situation of the world is, then kindness can be something that is very interesting in the context of what's already happening, because it's a cruel world out there, right? My idea of an anti-hero, for example, right now is Bernie Sanders. He is kind to a certain group of people because he's trying to fight for the underclasses by giving them free healthcare, free education, for example, and really unkind, really stuffing it up to the other side,
the,
right?
Which is Wall Street, the rich,
the very rich people who are, you know, the top 10 of whom are richer than the 50% population of the world. So if you look at Bernie Sanders, he's really not asking you to strive to become a CEO, but really he's saying to yourself that you can live a normal life right now and be happy because we're going to fund a big part of your life. But he doesn't mince his words.
No.
Right? When he talks, he doesn't really mince his words because there are issues in the world. And you know, the heroes that we know today usually don't address those kind of issues, jeopardizing people's thinking, I believe.
I think a lot of it has, if I listen to some of Bernie Sanders' speeches and what motivates him, there's this sense of fairness in the world, right? And that, you know, a lot of people, life hasn't been kind to them. Yeah, I'll use the word again, kind. And it's a bit unfair, right? So he's trying to reset that equilibrium, which I think, yeah, the world desperately needs. I mean, otherwise, if there was not the case, we wouldn't have seen all these protests going on in some countries, like in Hong Kong or Chile, right, where the disparity between the haves and the have-nots have widened increasingly over the last few days, few years. So even in America, since the 2008 financial crisis, unfortunately, the rich just get even richer because interest rates are all-time low, so they have access to capital markets, they can invest in, you know, in...
They can make money out of thin air.
Yeah. While the poor, I mean, or the less rich, don't have access to this, you know, and life hasn't been better for them.
So, Xiaoling, how do you think that this kind of anti-hero ideas can be applied to our political situation, you know, what has happened in the week past? Do you think it has some relevance?
Yeah, because I think when you look at the country, and I mean, I would say I don't speak for everyone, but it is somewhat fractured, right? It's very evenly divided. I think there are, you know, from the social media, you can see that there are some young people especially who are very unhappy over what has happened. And then there are some people who are happy that this has happened. But it feels like the country is pretty much split in the middle. Now, how do we repair and be a Malaysian society that, you know, at least... we're not like killing, you know, not like fighting out there all the time, right? And have at least common goals. Because the reality is that the economy is not doing well. You know, the issues of today still remain. It's like, how do I pay my bills? Can I get a job? Those things aren't going to go away. And if all our efforts is just about fighting on the political scene, then who's going to help resolve these continuing problems?
All right, we'd love to hear from you. Tell us who your anti-hero is, and you can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We'll be back with more discussion, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run, and that was The Moment by Tame Impala. Julian and Xiaoling here with you. Now, what better way to prop up your own business than to come up with an industry report by yourself, the Airbnb report based on bookings in 2019 shows that various age groups are looking for something different. To be fair to them, Airbnb has a lot of data, so they're in a position to tell us what's happening. So according to that report, Hong Kong's Gen Z prefer apart hotels and Gen X choose to book guest suites.
Well, no surprise, right? They will kind of plug their own product. I mean, I don't blame them. But I think the findings, it doesn't detract from what they found out, right? Because it wasn't so much about the hotels, but what were the travel trends. I think this one is interesting. The first one, which is tracks nature and the outdoors. So a lot of bookings are for, of course, these nature experiences. So people are looking for things like homestay trips, volcano hikes, and camping overnight in jungles. In fact, it was up like 103% in 2019 compared to 2018. And I think we see a lot more of this trend even in Malaysia. You know, people looking for things like glamping.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done it, Julian?
Yeah, for sure. I would never do camping. I would just do glamping, right?
Yeah, I'm not even sure I'll do glamping because
It's great.
Is it okay?
It gives you an excuse to go out there into nature and brag about how you were in nature without actually going.
Actually leaving any of your creature comforts, right?
Exactly.
So you can pretend that you were like out there in the wild, but actually you were in an aircon kind of a tent.
But it's quite fun though. I mean, there are a lot of glamping sites in Malaysia, and it does really bring you closer to nature.
Yeah, well, I think it's apparently the hot spots are Kathmandu in Nepal, Ubud in Bali, which is so commercial. I struggle to see how this is like tracks and nature. Tasmania, yes, I would agree, and the Great Ocean Road in Australia. But these
beautiful.
Are all, but they're beautiful, but they're very commercial, wouldn't you think? They're not really exactly like outdoorsy.
Well, you can do
right?
the Great Ocean Road drive yourself, and that's your own itinerary. It's not very commercial. I think it ticks the box on having an adventure there. But locally, there are a lot of spots as well, like Cameron Highlands, Fraser's Hill, a lot of tracks there.
Taman Negara?
You can go to Taman Negara.
East Malaysia is one big outdoors, right?
Absolutely.
One big nature
you can
park.
Climb the Kinabalu.
Yeah, and even in other places within East, like in the Mulu Caves, that's a big thing.
And closer to home as well, there are a lot of homestays here that actually takes you very close to nature, just give you a chance to switch off a bit. For example, I went to the Dusun recently, beautiful.
Actually, you don't even need to go that far. You can just go climb Bukit Kiara nearby here, right? Or Gassing Hill, if provided that, it's still around, because we know that there's... Kiara Hills is being fought out in the public sphere. They're trying to keep it, right?
Yes. That one particular small section of it, but there's still quite a lot of it that you can explore over there.
Now, the other part, of course, is the other trend is the past is a foreign country, apparently. And so Kyoto in Japan and Seongbokdong in Seoul are the two growing hotspots for history experiences. The point I have about this is, yes, Kyoto itself is gorgeous, but it is also overrun with tourists. So it's going to be a challenge to find a little bit of space to feel the atmosphere. And I think even Georgetown suffers from that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, people go there now and all they see are bars and boutique hotels and very little of that old world that Penang used to offer, right? Even Malacca, right? If you go to Malacca right now, you don't really think that, hey, this is the cradle of Malaysia's history, but you just see a lot of mushrooming of chicken rice balls shops around.
A lot of shops selling also like touristy, kitschy stuff, right? It doesn't feel like Parameswara started this town in 1400. Where is it? And then you don't see the Dutch influence or the Portuguese influence so much. It's just
not a lot,
It's just mainly all shopping, right? But I think, eventually, sadly, you become a victim of your own success.
Yeah, I think that what this is really highlighting is that people are shifting their tastes and going more into experiences rather than going with the old style of going with a tour company, and that focuses on quantity more than quality.
But the internet makes that so easy. I mean, you can choose and pick your own, your own hotel, your own experiences. You can arrange your own flights. I mean, with the internet, I honestly wonder how long package holidays are going to be popular for. Maybe for a certain group of people, they don't want to think about it. They don't want to plan.
That's right. The internet has made the world a small place and, in fact, has made you a local wherever you go. All right. Tell us your traveling experiences and preferences. Contact us through Twitter or WhatsApp. And we're going to go for a break right now. But here's a song, So Goes the Story by Eddie Hazel, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Julian Ng, together with my erstwhile colleague, Wong Xiaoling.
Wow.
How are you so far today?
Surviving.
How are you guys out there? Hope you're doing well. And we're just looking at some of the social media that has come in, actually, from our very loyal listener, Ro. What's Ro saying?
Ro is saying that there is plenty of lush green rainforest escapes in both KL and PJ. Sadly, I'm not sharing on air, he says, as part of their draw is being there alone. Ha!
Good one. I would do the same if I were you. Thanks very much. And of course, today we are looking at just all the front pages of the newspapers. And newsflash, they're just saying one thing, that Muhyiddin is the new prime minister. And we have begun the Muhyiddin era, the Muhyiddin administration.
Yeah, our eighth prime minister, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In 2 years. I mean, what, the second prime minister in 2 years? That was pretty fast.
If you include the interim prime minister, then it'd be three prime ministers in 2 years.
Well, in the last 2 days, we had lots of conversations about this interim prime minister. And one of the things the commentators brought up is that interim prime minister doesn't exist in our constitution. So does it count? I don't know. For the headlines, I think for the local headlines, like you said, every page is about Muhyiddin Yassin, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. I think the Star has an interesting headline. It says, in the hot seat, because he says he starts work today, will have plenty on his plate, especially in naming his cabinet. And after this whole week long of political impasse, he was sworn in by the young Diputan Agong yesterday at 10:30 a.m. Yes, it's true. I think it's going to be a very hot seat indeed.
Yep, and looking at Metro Harian as well, they probably thought that they have so much to cover, so they put four headlines in the front page. One is talking about Muhyiddin taking over, and the other headline is that Pakatan Harapan will be challenged in the Dewan Rakyat, and also Tian Chua heckled by being thrown, a bottle was thrown at him, Tian Chua, who many accuse is one of those traitors within Pakatan Harapan.
Did you see that video?
No, I didn't.
Okay, it was quite shocking. I mean, and I think even the PKR leaders have come out to condemn any act of violence. I think Fazi was the first to say this is not acceptable. PKR members don't do this to each other. You may disagree, but you shouldn't resort to, you know,
any kind of physical
violence,
right?
You can trade your insults at each other, but, you know,
even training insults, you've got to be careful, right? Don't overstep your boundaries.
Yeah, it shouldn't be defamatory.
Yeah.
Right? But I think, you know, when you start throwing stuff at people, you've crossed the line.
Yeah, I think there was a Facebook user who had been arrested for sedition, I think, for insulting the king. So don't go there.
Yeah. Okay, the other headline is on the Straits Times, which is the huge task ahead, which is true. There's a lot to do. And of course, I think first off is I'm going to be interested to see who he's going to appoint as cabinet. Mm-hmm. And how fast can he get it all together?
Yeah, because there is a sense of urgency. COVID-19 is around and it's at the risk of becoming a global pandemic if it's not already. So there is a lot to do here.
I think this morning, if I'm not wrong, the number of Malaysians that have been infected had a bit of a jump. Is it 30? So, yeah, and... you know, what are we doing? Because it seems to have, well, I think it's spread to 65 countries, right? And, you know, this global supply chain disruption has moved not just from China, but also South Korea, because they've had like more than 2,000 over cases. So it doesn't look like this virus is slowing down anytime soon.
That's right. Many countries are in a lockdown, including South Korea, Italy, even Mecca has restricted the number of pilgrims going over there. But the actual pilgrimage will be in the middle of this year. So that's months away. Also on the front page of the Edge Financial Daily, a little headline here that investors are going to roll the dice on politically linked stocks. So we saw that right after the GE14, many of those stocks that were linked to PM Najib at that point in time were very volatile, and a lot of the construction stocks were volatile as well, as the new government at that point in time, Mahathir's government, started to renegotiate a lot of the contracts. Now, we have yet a change in government, so a lot of these politically sensitive stocks would be in play.
I wonder what's going to happen at the GLCs also.
Yes.
Because shortly after the elections, they changed quite a lot of people resigned, and then there were new leaders. And
possible change of guards.
So let's see what happens in that space.
All right. We will be coming back with more discussion after this, and keep your comments coming in. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to the Morning Run. And that was John Mayer with New Light. You're with Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning. And we're looking at the headlines coming out in our daily newspapers. And really, there are only two major news that broken down into many little news. One is that Muhyiddin is the new prime minister, and the other one is the COVID-19 that has plagued the entire world.
Yeah, the US-China trade war. What was that all about? Forgotten,
exactly.
Right? It was like we talked about it to death last year. You know, it was like all the news from like July to January, and then suddenly COVID-19 took over, and then there hasn't been anything on the US-China trade war, which is still, by the way, ongoing. But I think forgotten for the moment. And I think now US is preoccupied with the presidential elections as November comes closer and closer.
That's right. Donald Trump's attention would be kind of like shifted to Bernie Sanders, who would probably be his main contender, even though Bernie Sanders lost in the South Carolina primaries. Tomorrow, Wednesday, our time would be Super Tuesday, where the candidates would try to scoop up as many votes as they can from all the different states.
Yeah, I think the interesting candidate to watch in that space would be actually Bloomberg, right? Because that's the first time he's actually participating in anything, in any kind of
He's not
polling.
Doing very well at all.
Well, you never put a man down that has like, what, 12 richest in the world or something like that, you know, billions of dollars. So he's already spent something like $400 million on advertising, you know.
And that's the problem, right?
Another billionaire.
That is exactly the problem with what's happening in the United States right now. Anyway, he's done really badly in the debate. You look at his performance.
His first debate was a disaster.
It's actually a lot of fodder for a lot of the comedians in town. But going back to the virus, I think it's shutting down a lot of the producers in China, hitting a lot of supply chains, Charlene.
Yeah, for sure. I think as much as 60% of people, apparently 60% of people have gone back to work. I'm not sure how reliable that piece of data is. But the what's worrying is the 40% who aren't, right? And we all know in the world of supply chains, you just need one part to not arrive and you can't make it. So a car has like a gazillion parts. As long as one nut, one bolt isn't there, the car can't be made. So what happens then? You know, then everything just gets stuck. Mm-hmm. So the big question, I think the companies that have come out to say that they've really been impacted, I think is Apple. And there are question marks about, apparently by June or July, the world might run out of iPhones. Can you imagine that? And what's going to happen in September when they're supposed to announce, you know,
end of the world for some people I know.
For the Apple cults out there. That's the other big worry.
Yeah, just going back to the edge, which looked at some of the stocks that would have been affected today, investors rolled the dice on politically linked stocks. Since Tan Sri Muhyiddin being appointed as the prime minister, they highlighted two stocks, two counters associated with Muhyiddin, Eden Inc. and Thriven, have risen 8 to 10% last week.
Oh, interesting. I think there was also another headline saying that maybe Sin stocks might come under pressure.
That's
typically,
right?
Because, we have passed in federal government, whether that there's any pressure there, who knows? And maybe there might be taxes raised on those stocks. I mean, excise duties on cigarettes and things like that, would that be raised?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the two factors that are going against the Sin stocks would be one is that you have a party that is anti-Sin that's in the government, as you mentioned. The other one is the tight budget, the tight finances of the country right now would lead the administrators of the country to look for other sources of funding. Then two of these sectors will come up, that's the brewery and the casino sectors the gambling sectors.
The other big question I have is all the policies that have been announced by the previous government. So whether it is the stimulus package, whether it's the shared prosperity, and whether it's budget 2020, how much of those policies will be implemented by this new government? You know, are they all going to be carried out? I wonder. And maybe we will find out in the next few days.
Uncharted grounds, right? Uncharted grounds, because the new government has taken over from an old government. How
Midstream.
How are they going to keep with the policies that was established by the old government?
I mean, one of the questions, of course, is GST. Will that be re-implemented because that was implemented during Najib's time? The other one is the tolls, right? Because we've had that 18% decrease in toll rates, but the concession has been increased by 20 years. Will that be rolled back? We don't know.
Yep. Also, I think that the fall in the market has been mixed up with the COVID-19 affecting the markets. It'd be interesting to see how the stock market react because, you know, all this news flash of 45 billion being wiped off the stock market. So investors would be interested to know about that.
I think the first sign of that will be the ringgit and also the futures for the KLCI, which opens at 8:45. So we'll tell you then, give you an indication of how the KLCI might open at 9 a.m.
All right, we're going into the 7 a.m. news, and after which we'll bring you the world market reports. And in the meantime, here's I'm Still Standing by Elton John, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.